Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. I'm joined today by Dr. Andy Stewart and PhD students Kalani Moore and Eileen Courtney from the Bernal Institute here at UL. My guests are part of a team led by Bernal Chair of Microscopy, Professor Ursel Bangert, who are bringing to life the atomic action movies observed in transmission electron microscopy. UL is home to a unique microscope, the FEI Titan Thamus. So Andy, could you tell me a little bit more about this microscope and what makes it so special?
This microscope is pretty special. It's quite a unique combination of things on the microscope. So it's an aberration corrected microscope. That essentially means it's got a pair of glasses onto the microscope to help correct some of the optics and allow us to go to very high resolution. We also have a set of holders for the samples, which allow us to heat the sample up, to pass an electrical current through it, to look at the sample within liquids, within gases, and also cool it down to cryogenic temperatures. And then the sort of third main part, we also have a very fast new camera, which lets us look at the interactions to these samples in their environments at timescales of less than a millisecond. So that lets us start to look at interactions which happen to these materials on timescales which weren't really accessible before. Most microscopy samples have only ever been looked at in a vacuum. So it's equivalent to looking at them in outer space. Well, that has told us an awful lot of knowledge about materials over the 60 years or so of research in this field. It's not necessarily, we don't live in a vacuum, so it's not necessarily applicable to our everyday understanding of materials. So now with this combination of new technologies coming together into one package here at UL, in a very unique combination, we can now start to look at all these materials in their different environments and genuinely understand what happens as they interact with each other.
Great, thanks Andy. So Kalani, can you explain to me though, why electron microscopy, what does it do for us?
Well, just talking about electron microscopy in general, it's kind of hard for most people to visualize exactly what a TEM is. It's a transmission electron microscope. Honestly, it's just incredible. I'm quite new myself to the field of microscopy, and coming in, you're just kind of overawed by, first of all, just the sheer size of it. And then secondly, just the technology on display. Coming from during my undergrad and everything I'd ever experienced before was just normal everyday microscopes that you look down a tube and you can see a magnified image. You can see something that's bigger than, something maybe that looks tiny on your hand. Whereas what you're dealing with an electron microscope is, it's just insane. You're looking at things that you can't see with your eyes. When you're preparing a sample, you need to put it down on the grid in the hope that it's there. You're using normal microscopes just to try position the main large object that you're going to look into. And regarding the microscope itself, it's huge. It's bigger than this room. It's just a massive column, and the whole thing's under vacuum, like you're in space. There's no air, there's no nothing in there. And that's what electrons need to move through. Otherwise, they just bounce off the air and nothing works. So it's a huge piece of technology just to make that happen, let alone manipulate those electrons so that you fire them at high energy through the sample and through the material. And what you're trying to do is manipulate the electrons with those magnetic lenses into the smallest spot you can. And when you focus them down with that tiny spot, smaller than your eye can see, they go through the sample, interact with it, and after they come out, you expand them again and you project it onto a screen. And that screen is the size of my hand, something like that. But from that, we get an image of something it's atoms. It's something that's theoretical for most people, and you feel privileged just to be able to see something that, maybe you hear people, scientists talking about, but most people never think they're going to see an atom, but we can just take pictures of it. And that's what the Titan can do, and it's unique. With normal microscopes, you can see things that are pretty small, whereas with the TEM, you can see things that are insanely small. Taking the example of a human hair, which is about 80 microns, and if you take an atom, which could be about 0.8 of a nanometer, so looking across the width of a human hair, you've got 100,000 atoms, and with the electron microscope, we can see them. And that's pretty unique. But we're not just looking at hair. We're looking at a lot of different new research materials for all sorts of companies.
Eileen, could I bring you in here and explain to me a bit more about the different types of materials that you're looking at and why you're looking at those materials?
The materials we're kind of focusing now at the moment in UL are called 2D materials. And I suppose most people would have first heard of 2D materials back in 2010 when the Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded for the discovery of graphene, which was the first 2D material, really. Because before the discovery of graphene, everyone thought these were impossible materials. All of the theoretical knowledge we had up to that point said that this should not be possible. But as always, you know, science finds a way somehow and always proves us wrong. So these new materials are really perfect for looking at under an electron microscope because they're so thin that the electron beam can pass through them and we can get an image. And they're so small and yet so clear and have such a variety of different effects depending on what the material is made of. So graphene is made of carbon atoms, but there are many other different 2D materials since then which have been discovered with different atomic combinations and different structures. And by studying them, we kind of get a better idea of how atoms interact with each other. And of course, if you understand the small, you can scale it up and start to understand the big. And that's kind of the point of it.
Andy, can I ask you then to explain to us how industry engage with you? Do they have access to the microscope and what are the applications for your work?
Yes, industry will have access to the microscope. It can cover a huge variety of industries from classic metals, alloys, silicon industry and electronics, medical device industries, looking at the interface between the devices and the biological matter, pharmaceutical industry, as their crystals get smaller and smaller in drugs. Then classic powder diffraction methods are beginning to have struggle a little bit. We can then look at the crystals within the TEM and solve the structures that way. Also, biological applications with cryomicroscopy is a huge and increasingly growing area.
So Kalani, back to you, if I could ask you to focus on a specific industry. We talked before about the semiconductor industry and how microscopy has a huge part to play in that. Can you tell me more about that?
Semiconductor industry is pretty famous. I mean, it's what is responsible for your computers and games and Xboxes and PlayStations getting better and better every year. Every time you go near them, every time you buy a new one, it's faster and the graphics are better and everything's just ever increasing. And that's down to something called Moore's Law. And it basically means that these processors are getting smaller and smaller. The amount that you can pack into, say, whatever, a square centimeter is doubling roughly every 18 months, but they don't think they're going to be able to keep up the pace of advancement as much anymore. And one of the alternatives that they're looking at is to these 2D materials. So basically these 2D materials hopefully one day will be incorporated into all electronics, including your phones and computers and everything. And to do so, we need to understand how they work. And understanding how they work requires a TEM. It's the only thing you can use to see these atoms that small. You know, you want to put this material into a phone. If you're walking around every day, you're not walking around in a vacuum. Your phone's going to get hot and cold and get dropped and maybe get wet sometimes. So when you're testing out these materials for these applications, you need to know how they're going to perform under these conditions. You need to look at these materials. You need to make them hot. You need to make them cold. You need to see what is going to happen to the atoms and how they're going to perform when they come into a contact with an electrical bias going across them, when there's a current going through them, when they're under pressure, and just look at real world conditions that way.
So Eileen, can you explain to me why you decided to pursue a PhD in this area?
Well, for me, it started with my work placement as an undergraduate. I was placed within the semiconductor industry. And as part of that, I was working in a failure analysis group working with integrated circuitry chips and why they were failing. And as part of this, I was put into lab environments and introduced to the world of microscopy because you had to look at these chips and of course they were absolutely tiny and you had to figure out what circuit had gone wrong. So that started my interest in the field, definitely. So then when I came back to finish up my final year and pick a final year project for my undergraduate, I met Professor Bangert and she offered me a place in UL and told me all about the new microscope they were getting and the work they were doing. And it's very hard not to fall in love with the subject when you're surrounded by people who are so passionate for it, and being able to watch atoms and study materials at such a small level and see things that so few people get to see and understand fully.
So back to you, Andy, could you give us an idea of what the future holds for electron microscopy and what the potential applications are?
With the introduction of the in situ holders and our ability to look on faster timescales with the new camera, we're really just at the beginning of understanding a whole new range of subjects. Future is very broad in terms of where we can look. In fact, part of the problem we face is narrowing down where our expertise can focus and look, but we can look at the interaction of gases with nanoparticles and catalysis. We could look at liquids on metal surfaces and how they cause various interactions, from rusting all the way through to laying down of materials on surfaces. We could look at how water vapor affects pharmaceutical compounds, and so how the storage over time can be affected. Can look at what happens when metals are heated up, how the grains of the metal interact with each other as the heat sort of permeates the sample. How does this cause things to grow and interact with each other? We can look at biological samples. It really is a huge range of things.
And Kalani, can I go back to you just to ask you, what motivated you to get involved in this area of research?
Yeah, it was kind of a funny story, really, where I finished my undergrad in UL 2 years ago and left, went to America, working with in Oregon State University, working on earthquakes, actually. Geophysics is just like, I don't know, completely almost unrelated discipline. But I knew I wanted to come back to UL and like really love the campus here and the whole place. I got in contact with one of my old classmates who was working with Dr. Ursel Bangert, and through that started talking to her, and she explained what the project could be, and just talking to him about how he's so enthusiastic about it, and talking to her about just how the new Titan microscope was going to come along. And Andy, he's only one of a couple of people, literally a handful of people in the world that works in his field. Most people, what he works on is, from my understanding of it, which is still quite basic, is inside cells you have these proteins, and most even electron microscopists can't look at these proteins, but Andy works on techniques that can actually resolve the structure of them. And there's a lot of people that would really like to know the structure of those proteins, and he's one of the few guys that can deliver on it. So it's crazily specialized, so I'd even like to know how he got there.
I guess during my PhD days, I done electron crystallography, and I was doing the theory of it and how to solve the structures using mathematical and statistical techniques. And at the end of my PhD, I came up with an idea. I said, why are we doing it this way? And basically the answer came back is, we've always done it this way. And I said, well, how about we try and emulate what the X-ray diffraction people do inside the TEM? And it was dismissed as a nice idea, but will never happen. Fast forward a few years, a group in Mainz in Germany actually implemented an idea very close to what I had proposed in my PhD thesis. And I went to work with them for a number of years, had a great time there. We actually made the technique work of what's been called diffraction tomography, where we can take these tiny crystals all the way down to sort of 10 nanometers in size, like the fundamental limits of what a crystal is, where we can actually still take the data from that crystal and manage to solve it and get the average crystal structure. And then from there, we then went to more and more difficult types of crystals. So of organic crystals for pharmaceutical sciences, and of proteins for protein crystallography, and understanding, you know, what are the atomic structures of these proteins and how will they be used for drug discovery and just general knowledge of protein structures.
You've been listening to Dr. Andy Stewart, Kalani Moore and Eileen Courtney from the Bernal Institute. This research is kindly supported by Science Foundation Ireland and the Atlantic Philanthropies. If you'd like to find out more about Research Impact, go to our website, ul.ie/researchimpact, or to find out more about the TEM UL Research Group, go to bernalinstitute.com.